What up? It's your boy LQ, Mr. Real Deal Fantasy, and this is another great episode of FTN Fantasy Show with my guy, Matt Okada. And listen, we're going to be playing as the board for the fantasy awards that go on at the end of the season. We're just going to be putting some names in the hat that we think they are going to be talked about a lot. And at that point in the season, we'll be able to pin them to these awards. But I am so glad you are here, Okada, man, because there is a lot to talk about, a lot of fantasy news, a lot of NFL news. Like, it's been a crazy week, bro.
Yeah, it's the last week of football lists 2025, because wow, next Thursday. Yeah.
Man, let's get into some of the fantasy news. Now, a little peek behind the curtain. Okada, before the show, decided to hit me in the Slack and say, Mr. Daniel Jones has been named as the captain for the Colts. Like, whoa, they are pushing all the chips behind all support. Daniel Jones as the captain of this team. Okada, your reaction, first of all.
Well, my first reaction is, if there was an award in our show today for, like, the guy that we on this show like and have liked all season, but literally no one else cares about, Daniel Jones would probably win it. Because we've done been saying he was going to be the starter for 3 months, and no one else thought that, apparently.
Yeah, he gets a Dundee for that.
Funny enough, the video I saw, the way that it was couched was that Zaire Franklin, who was named one of the other captains, didn't cheer when Daniel Jones, like, they all did this thing every time the captain was named, like this chant thing, and he didn't do it. Like, he was either surprised or just out on it. Regardless, Daniel Jones, I don't know if he should have been named the captain, because, I mean, sure, he was the captain for New York because the quarterbacks have to be, but he's not like the indie quarterback by any means, or at least he hasn't been. However, to your point, this kind of maybe says that the team is like, we're in. We understand that he's our starter, and we've forgotten Anthony Richardson already. He's out.
And the thing is, it's kind of weird because in the preseason, him and Anthony Richardson, to me, were like neck and neck in the race. Like, neither one of them separated from each other to say, hey, this guy is blatantly better. So for this to happen, like, right before the season, man, like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think we see Anthony Richardson play a snap this season, because before we got on here, we were looking at the schedule. They have a week 11 bye, but in those first 10 weeks, man, it's kind of a soft schedule. Like, they're opening up against the Dolphins, and then right before the bye, they get the Falcons. So it's like, there is some play in between where I could see Daniel Jones just locking up the starting job, and we don't see Anthony Richardson at all this season, unless he's traded in October, you know, before the trade deadline.
By the way, just a quick bit of advice to fantasy players and NFL fans out there. I just kind of thought of this. You can read a lot into what teams intend by the moves that they make. And in my opinion, this is my opinion, I haven't talked to anybody in the indie brass, signing Daniel Jones behind Anthony Richardson instead of maybe a guy like, for example, Tyrod Taylor or even Joe Flacco, but obviously that would be a very different style than Anthony Richardson, but someone, a veteran who could help Anthony Richardson learn and grow, but eventually, obviously, you're going with Anthony Richardson. That's the kind of move where you say they want this guy to be their starter. Going and signing Daniel Jones, who's been a starter for years and is by no means a, like, wise veteran presence to help Anthony Richardson learn, to me, that was always obviously this guy's going to compete and probably take the job from Richardson. So I think if you look at the moves carefully and use your brain a little bit, you can figure this stuff out. They never wanted Anthony Richardson from the start of this offseason. He's trash.
Yeah, that's exactly the signs that I saw and read, you know, after the combine. I'm like, this is going to be nasty for Anthony Richardson. But, you know, there's a couple folks out there in dynasty leagues that are holding on for dear life. It does not look good. It does not feel good, because I guarantee you spent a hefty penny on him in rookie drafts when he was coming out of the draft. So I do think now it's time to pivot right now, get what you can, if you can get anything, but it's going to be these next couple of years for those Anthony Richardson dynasty leagues that are going to be in the market for quarterbacks, because I think he set a couple people back just based on the upside that we thought he had in fantasy. But on the Daniel Jones tip of it, Okada, I do think this makes this more of like when you take these deep shots on him, like speaking to super flex leagues, obviously I snatched him up as a QB3, but can we look at him as a possible QB2 in the one quarterback leagues that you just want to stash just in case if you have the bench room?
If you have deep benches, you certainly could. The big plus there is he's going later than even a bunch of the other sleeper guys you could stash as QB2s. I have guys I'd rather get in like the teens rounds as a backup quarterback, like Trevor Lawrence, for example, or a guy we're probably going to talk about here in a minute. Tease alert. But Daniel Jones will probably have some good weeks. Might just be a DFS thing or a best ball thing, because I might have a few shades of Daniel Jones in best ball from this offseason. I'm just saying.
I mean, look, I do think Daniel Jones, to me, like, I feel like I don't feel confident in him in any week in starting lineups. Like, we just looked at his schedule. Like, I still can't say I can trust him over the guy I drafted as my QB1. Unless I suffer injuries or this guy that I took as my QB1 is just flat out bad. I do see a universe, a type of path for Daniel Jones to be in the mix of that top 15 conversation because his mobility, he's in the perfect offense that's going to have these design runs that they had for Anthony Richardson. So I do think that Daniel Jones is being way underlooked. And some folks, they might have a draft this weekend. And when you're hearing this pod, man, I don't know. He could be a stash to me just based on his mobility. But speaking of drafts, this is the last week, and this is the finale for a lot of folks out there for any drafts, man. Okada, do you have any last minute draft advice for some folks out there?
Ooh, wow. Well, I could speak for an hour about all the bits of last minute draft advice. Here's the two things I'll just tell you to make it easy. One, if you go to NFL.com, obviously we're here representing FTN, but we both happen to work for NFL Media, NFL Fantasy. Yeah, we're both repping the brand today. There is an article over there with 18 do's and don'ts for your draft by yours truly.
And it's 18.
Got 18, nine do's, nine don'ts. It's got all the like intro strategy stuff or deep strategy stuff that kind of helps you from a top level without getting too into the weeds of players. So that's one real smart way to do it. And then the other thing you can do is stick around for the rest of this podcast, Laquan, because we're going to name a bunch of guys that are very useful to know heading into drafts. And a lot of people have their drafts this weekend. You're going to get some real good info, so stick around.
Absolutely. Look, I want to feed the fantasy streets with this advice. Know your league settings, okay? That is number one. Like, I can't stress that enough. Know your league settings before you arrive at your buddy's house for the draft. Know your league settings before that clock is on the 101, because when you start asking questions and it's the third round, everybody's going to take advantage of that. They're going to look at you and be like, oh my God, this guy does not know this is super flex. This guy does not know it's tight end premium. This guy does not know it's a one quarterback standard league. Like, folks, know your league settings, because so many people in my DMs these last 2 weeks have been hitting me up with draft advice, questions, and all this stuff. And the first thing I asked them was, what is your league settings? I need to know this information to help you. And if you don't know, you ain't helping nobody. You're just helping your league mates to win. But let's get to some of these award nominees that we're going to put these guys' names in the hat that should be in the runnings for some of these awards. And we got one very special, interesting, silly award that I just cannot believe this is making the show, because I want no smoke with that fan base. But we'll
be
back.
Smoke.
Oh, yeah, we getting smoke. And we are back. Let's get into some of these awards. Now, Okada, I like this award. Now, it's a very positive award, and I do think by December, we'll kind of wrap up and understand who's had this breakout of the year. There's a lot of names that can go in this hat, but I want to give you first dibs to take a crack, a swing at who do you think should be in the running for breakout of the year this year?
All right. Let's just quickly set some ground rules. Do you want to alternate names, or do you want me to lay out my list and then you lay out your list?
I will like to alternate. I want to go back and forth. Okay. So give me your first guy and I'll give you mine.
All right. I'll give you my first guy, because this is the guy I think is most likely of this group to be better than his value by a good amount. and it is Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver from the San Francisco 49ers. Ooh. Listen, you're going to hear a few 49ers names probably in the rest of this show from me. And the reason is Kyle Shanahan always makes it work. His offense is always good, no matter what's happening, no matter who the quarterback is, no matter who gets hurt. The offense always manages to chug. And in the current state of this offense, you've got Deebo Samuel gone. You've got Brandon Ayuk probably out for at least a month, maybe half the year, and then coming back very slow because he had the late knee injury. You've got Juwan Jennings with a calf injury that's really a contract injury.
Calf.
Who's still out, still does not seem to be making any progress, and is very possibly going to be, I don't know, starting the year on IR, getting traded, who knows?
Wow.
And then you've got, obviously, George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. I think Ricky Pearsall is the wide receiver one on that team. I think Brock Purdy is going to find a connection with him. He is talented. He's a first-round pick. He had a strong finish to last year. I think he's going to be looked at as a wide receiver two, at least, very quickly this year.
Let me check the board. It's accepted. You know why? Because I could see it. I could see it. Because Ricky Pearsall has a lot on his plate to start the season off, because he named off a rattle of all their injuries. And again, it's one of those situations where he'll have situational targets, where he'll be the hyper focus. So I like that. I like that for a breakout. And a guy that's very young in the NFL right now. I mean, he had the unfortunate events, you know, the kickoff last season. But now this is a full healthy season where I feel like Ricky Pearsall could put his name in the hat by December as like, yo, this is a breakout wide receiver. This is a high-end wide receiver too that we need to take very serious and have him in the conversations when we go into next year's draft. My guy, though, breakout of the year. There's no way that Bryce Young's name is not going to be mentioned December in any type of positive light, just based on how he finished last year. Now, we look at last season, there obviously was the missing parts of Adam Thielen, but when Adam Thielen came back, this is where Bryce Young was really playing to full confidence. This is the Bryce Young that we were hoping in his rookie year. But now, when you add a Tetrarolle McMillan, when you have Jalen Coker, boy, that is going to be a name that is going to be ringing off all season long, by the way. But Bryce Young has to be one of the top candidates as a breakout at the quarterback position, at least amongst all these other quarterbacks, because he has the most to prove this year. And I think he's motivated, and I think he's fueled by the pieces that are around him, man. Like, he has some really good pieces in Jatavion Sanders as well, as in guys like, you know, we're hoping to step up and break out as well. Xavier Leggett, he's not one of my breakout candidates, but we're hoping that he just takes a step forward. So, Okada, check the board, man. I think Bryce Young might take it away from Ricky Pearsall, though.
Well, I have Bryce Young on my list, Laquan.
Oh, so that's two votes, and the board is only us two, so that is a winner, baby.
I think it might be. Listen, I don't know if you saw the things Adam Thielen had to say about Bryce Young after leaving. Obviously, he was traded to the Vikings.
Yeah.
He said, great guy, great quarterback. He's been through a lot of adversity through the first couple years, overcame it, and was super good at the end of last year. And it's the same thing as with Ricky Pearsall. You look at the end of the year for these young guys, and they start to make big strides forward. Those are the guys I'm looking at next, the following year for the breakout. I think Bryce Young could easily be a fringe QB1, maybe better. Obviously, he was picked to be this and has just been through a lot of rough in a couple years since. And now he has a true wide receiver one, which makes a big difference.
You know what? I think Ricky Pearsall and Bryce Young is going to be literally the one and two when it comes to like breakout candidates, because I think a lot of folks are behind them. Like, because again, they're rather cheap in drafts. I think Ricky Pearsall's ADP has risen as season's gotten closer because injury after injury. But I do think this is a strong race right here for breakout of the year. Let's get to some negativity. Ooh. This is my favorite one. I'm going to go first because I've been screaming this guy's name in the fantasy streets. Like, you guys are going to be heartbroken. And Ladd McConkey is at the top of my list for a bust of the year. And I'm going to come back and timestamp this and clip this and play this every day in the fantasy streets, because Okada, he's being drafted as the wide receiver 11. Me personally, I think he'll finish closer to wide receiver 20 than 11 where he's being drafted. Honestly, when you see where he goes in drafts, like I just had a draft this last weekend. He went off the board before Josh Jacobs, a Chase Brown. He went off the board before JSN, a T. Higgins. Like, God, the names go on. I just feel so much more comfortable waiting for his tier of a guy where, me personally, I think you could wait in late in drafts and get his discount, and his name is Josh Downs. So I'm just going to hold off on all the Lat McConkey, you know, hype trains and all that stuff, where I just don't see it, man. I just don't feel as though he's going to return back to that ADP on the price that you had to pay in drafts. God, Okada, talk to me.
Okay, this is tough for me because I do like Lat McConkey. I will say I don't love Lat McConkey, and I will say I think his ADP is probably a little bit too high, especially obviously after they brought in Keenan Allen, who is a direct vulture.
People for what think Lat he washed.
McConkey does.
People think he's washed. I don't.
He looked pretty good for when he was healthy last year. However, Laquan. However, I think Lat McConkey probably drops 5, maybe 10 spots in the wide receiver rankings from where he's being drafted. My nominee, or at least my first nominee, I think will drop 15, 20, maybe more.
Yo.
Garrett Wilson.
Oh, you've been on this train all offseason, baby.
Okay, that's a good one. Listen, Garrett Wilson is probably talented. I say probably because everybody else says Garrett Wilson is mega talented. I don't know for sure that he is. He is undersized in terms of his like frame, and it's not ideal for the way that he plays. He doesn't score touchdowns at all whatsoever. And not in the way that like Puka Nacua doesn't score touchdowns, where I could, based on the way they play the game, I could see Puka Nacua scoring 10, 15 touchdowns if the opportunities came. But, you know, he's had Cooper Kupp on his team. He's one of the best red zone targets in the league. So Puka hasn't managed to score these touchdowns, but I could see him scoring 15. I can't see Garrett Wilson doing that. I just don't think it's his game. But the main reason is he has seen the second most targets behind Justin Jefferson over a player's first three seasons in NFL history. And it has made him a viable fringe wide receiver one over these first 3 years. He is not going to see those targets in 2025. He might see the target share. He probably will see the target share. But a 30% target share of what Justin Fields is going to throw, Laquan, is not 150 targets, which was... He's been seeing that or better over these first three seasons. It might
Please
be 110.
Put a pin in that. No break that down for the folks that are listening, because target share percentage is very different from the amount of targets, because there's folks that are on low pass volume offenses with a 35% target share, but they only got like 110 targets.
This is going to be the lowest pass rate offense in the league. They have Justin Fields. That's always been what Justin Fields is. They have two good running backs. They only have one decent pass catcher in Garrett Wilson, if we assume he is good. They are going to try, at least, to run the heck out of the football, and they're not going to throw enough for Garrett Wilson to thrive. So I don't hate Lat McConkey as a nomination, but to me, Garrett Wilson is being drafted in almost the same range and is going to be twice or three times as bad as McConkey.
You know what? Let's help the folks out. I want to put one more name in the hat.
Okay.
And I think this is on par with Lad, and I think this is on par with Garrett Wilson, and it's Baker Mayfield. Like, we need to have that real time discussion, because folks, the drafts are starting to get dry. Week one is around the corner, and you're going into this season with Baker Mayfield as your QB1. You better strap up, because I honestly think people are looking at the touchdowns. Obviously, Mike Williams is still there, the new shiny toy and darling of the fantasy streets, and Emeka Ibuka's there. You have Chris Godwin not being put on the PUP list, where his timetable of return is still the unknown. Folks are still gearing up with Baker Mayfield coming off the board at QB7 before Bo Nix, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, Dak Prescott. I mean, the names go on of guys that I think will leap him when it comes on a week-to-week basis. I think the touchdowns come back down to earth. I think the turnovers do increase. I do think that the rushing yards he had last season come down a bit. I just think that Baker Mayfield is going to be HBK, the heartbreak kid, for all the fantasy folks out there that are believing that Baker Mayfield is going to return on that ADP price. Talk to me, Okada.
I think we found our winner. Check the board. Yes, please. Listen, Garrett Wilson is my number one by a good amount, but Baker Mayfield is a strong number two. So if he's both of our strong number two, I think he's the guy. Listen, let me read. Everybody talks about, you know, what did a guy do for me recently? That probably matters most to some degree. True. However, you also have to account for natural, statistical, mathematical regression from outlier performances. I'm going to speed read you some numbers, Laquan, because we don't have endless time. But I'm going to speed read you some numbers on Baker Mayfield, okay? These are his completion percentages by season through his career. 63, 59, 62, 60, 60, 64, 71.
Oh, whoa, that is a huge outlier right there. That is cool. You said 59 in that speed reading.
Here's his touchdown rate, which is probably one of the most important stats for quarterbacks in fantasy. By season, 5.6, 4.1, 5.3, 4.1, 3.0, 4.9, 7.2.
Folks,
these numbers cannot hold. These two numbers together are numbers that have never been put on the same statistical line by a quarterback, maybe outside of guys like Drew Brees and Peyton Manning. And as much as I like Baker Mayfield, he is not those guys. So these numbers are not going to stay there. The volume might come down a little bit. The pass completion percentage is going to come down. The touchdown rate is going to come down. And he's going to go back to being a, you know, high 20s touchdowns, maybe, kind of guy instead of the 41 he threw last year. I will never draft Baker Mayfield at the place he's going in ADP with the guys around him at other positions when I can wait on quarterback and get someone better. This is a great call.
I feel like those teams that have him as QB1 in the one quarterback league, they're going to be streaming a lot of quarterbacks this season. There's going to be Darnold, Geno Smith in your lineups. It's going to look real nasty, folks, and I'm sending thoughts and prayers, but not to my league mates who made this mistake. Let's take a quick break, though, man. We're going to jump back in, finish up some of these awards, man. I like this next one. We're going to be talking rookie, so you want to stick around, and we'll be right back. And we are back to talk rookie of the year, and I think this conversation is going to be obviously chalk if we include Ashton Jeanty. So I want to rename this award to Rookie of the Year, not Ashton Jeanty, folks, because again, folks are doing all their predictions this week and they're doing all their fantasy awards and all this other stuff. And Ashton Jeanty has been the chalk answer for everybody. Ashton Jeanty will not be in this conversation. Rookie of the Year, to me, there's a couple candidates. Like, I want to start this off, man. And I think it's going to be Cam Ward is going to be the fantasy rookie MVP of the year, because I think he's going to catch a lot of folks off guard. And I think a lot of folks are sleeping on this Titans offense. Just the small sample size that we got in preseason made me believe, like, oh, this is going to be something crazy. Like, we forget that Calvin Ridley led the league in air yards. We forget that Cam Ward has that Josh Allen, oh, F it, he's down there somewhere type of ball. There's confidence behind this guy. And I think he's going to feel very confident of displaying a lot of that Patrick Mahomes, like, pocket awareness, like the Josh Allen long ball. There's a lot to Cam Ward that I don't think is being spoken about enough. I mean, all the talks were on Shador during the draft. I mean, this entire offseason has been center focus between Dallas and the Browns. And it's like, nobody's talking about Cam Ward. So I think he's going to be the one that's going to surprise a lot of folks. I think he's going to be one of the conversations in December where, like, yo, look where Cam Ward is ranked right now among the fantasy quarterbacks. This is insane. I could see it honestly inside the top 15, top 12. It should not be a crazy prediction, being that he has the weapons around him right now. So that's my candidate for Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Here's what I'll say about Cam Ward. In a 2QB league, I like this. I think he's going to be surprisingly good for fantasy. My only concern is, in a 1QB league, I think he could crack like fringe QB1 range. But as a rookie with very little rushing upside, I don't think he ever cracks like consistent starting lineups in 1QB leagues. So while I agree that he'll be better than what people expect, I don't know if I can get him into this conversation. My nominee, however, I think is going to be starting on every roster in fantasy by week two. And I'm glad you took out Ashton Jeanty, because I was thinking about naming this guy anyways over Ashton Jeanty, but I can easily name him as the number one if Ashton Jeanty's out. And it is Travion Henderson.
Oh, he is the new darling right now.
He is the fantasy hot spot right now, outside of one other guy that we're going to get to later in this show. After an incredible preseason, he scored a 100-yard touchdown the first time he touched an NFL football for returning a kickoff. He had another great touchdown. He looked good. The training camp reviews, the way that the coaching staff have raved about him, are insane. Nothing but good things to say. Most explosive back Josh McDaniels has ever had. All this stuff. I saw a quote break this morning before we got on the pod, Laquan. This is from Jeff Howe, who's an NFL insider for The Athletic. So it's not a beat reporter or a coach, but still, this is the kind of inside report that I think people are starting to get. Quote, "The Patriots are ecstatic over rookie running back Travion Henderson, so don't be surprised if he turns into their lead option." That is my expectation, Laquan. I think by week two, Ramondre Stevenson's going to be seeing 8-10 carries a game, and Travion Henderson's going to be seeing 15-20, 5-plus catches, or at least targets, and is going to be the focal point of this Josh McDaniels and Drake May-led offense. And I think Travion Henderson has an outside chance, depending on how good the Raiders and the Patriots offenses are, of being better than Ashton Jeanty. If the Patriots offense takes a step forward and the Raiders offense does not, I think Travion Henderson could be better because he scores more touchdowns. He's so explosive and so talented. There's just no way Ramondre Stevenson holds him off.
Let me check with the board members. Dear God, yes, I am all 100% behind this, because we have to really look at the situation over there in New England. Like, of course he's going to be the number one option. Of course he's the biggest playmaker on the field. Of course he's the most electric player. This is like Jahmyr Gibbs would have depleted Detroit Lions offense. Like, this is going to be very, very special for folks that went out there and got the value on him all summer long, because boy, before preseason, he was going in about the 6th, 7th round, Okada. Now, after the preseason, you're going to have to pay, because yesterday's price ain't today's price, where that boy is going in the 3rd round. Okay, hands down, rookie of the year, I can get behind that. Let's go to Mr. League winner, though. I want to throw a name in the hat first on this one, where I want to just test the waters and what you think about this. For the New York Jets, I have Braylon Allen being a league winner. And I say this with confidence because, again, we've seen enough of Breece Hall. A 21.5% stuff rate as for FTN Fantasy Stats Hub last year, which was the 5th highest. And, again, when you look back at the Jets run blocking as for PFF, this was top of the table type of run blocking grade that PFF had named and coined for the Jets O-line last season. So it's not making sense. Does this boy have vision issues? Does this boy have the same injury that Najee had over the weekend of 4th of July? Because what is happening? When you look at preseason, there's just so many holes that were developed for him. He did not hit said holes. There were so many plays where I just look and see there's a difference when that ball is handed off to Breece Hall and then when it's handed off to Braylon Allen. I think this guy is being slept on entirely too much, where you have folks still holding on to college tape of Breece Hall and to rookie year Breece Hall, where we haven't had or seen that type of Breece Hall, where this coaching staff have only raved and gave us promise of Breece Hall in the passing game. And this is going to be a very run-heavy offense, man, and I don't want to beat a dead horse with Justin Fields and his passing ability. But Braylon Allen, he's honestly in that market to have this 200 to 250 carries alone by himself. I don't see Breece Hall cracking more than 120, 150 type of carries if this is going to be a run-heavy offense. This is not the fantasy target I want. I want Braylon Allen, who's going way later in drafts.
Okay. Ooh, this is tough. I cannot disagree with anything you just said. To me, Braylon Allen is 20 times better value at where he's going than Breece Hall. Something like that. Because I am not touching Breece Hall with the 29-foot pole at his ADP. And I am smashing Braylon Allen everywhere with basically the last pick or one of the last picks in your draft, depending on how deep your benches go. For anyone who doesn't know, this coaching staff in New York is now Aaron Glenn from the Lions and Tanner Engstrand at OC from the Lions. Both of them have talked about, we're trying to bring the Sonic and Knuckles to New York. But for some reason, nobody is talking about Braylon Allen as the David Montgomery Knuckles of this offense. And I don't understand why. Here's my one hang-up point. Because I 100% agree. I think he'll get more carries than Breece Hall. I think he'll score more rushing touchdowns than Breece Hall. If the Jets suck, which they probably will, is it going to be hard for the early downs back to be a stud? Because obviously in Detroit these last few years, David Montgomery has had the ability to run out the clock willy-nilly, score a gazillion touchdowns because they're always in the red zone. If the Jets can't do that, is Braylon Allen's upside cap? That's my one concern.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Because now I'm thinking about it. I do not think that the Jets are going to be good. And I think late in the season, once we get to the November, December, we'll already have an idea of like how this Jets season is going to finish out and how it's gone. I do think, though, the only one hang up I have on that is that there may be somebody else we could put in the name for a league winner. I'm skipping your turn, by the way.
Okay.
I do think Jordan Mason could be a league winger over there in Minnesota with Aaron Jones. Now, I say league winner for this one where it's going to be a slow burn. Like, Okada, what do you think about maybe late October, November, we start seeing the change and shift and snaps when Jordan Mason starts taking the front? Because the Vikings have spoke about Jordan Mason as a co-starter for that backfield. Yeah. We don't hear things like that early into summer. So they obviously know the player that they have. How do you feel about Jordan Mason putting his name in the hat as a league winner?
This one's really interesting because I think Jordan Mason is basically Braylon Allen in a better offense.
Oh, I like that comp. Yes.
However, the price is it reflects that. So if Jordan Mason was going at Braylon Allen's price, this would be a smash pick. He is going pretty highly because obviously there has been some hype about the team splitting work between Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones. I think he could very much be what we all just described Braylon Allen being for New York or what David Montgomery has been for Detroit, but in an offense that should be good in the Vikings, I believe, assuming J.J. McCarthy is good, obviously, which I expect. So I do like that one as well. I will say, I know you like this player, so I'll just throw it out there. DeAndre Swift is the top of my list. We don't have to talk much about him because we've hit on him a ton.
Yes.
To me, I like Braylon Allen because he's so cheap. I think that's a good pick. I'm on board with that. Because the guys that you get, like, basically off waivers who end up being starters and, you know, putting up big points for you at the end of the year, those are the league winners, like the Puka Nacuas or the Kyron Williams of years past. So I do like Braylon Allen for that reason. But if you wanted to go, like, mid-rounds target, mine would be DeAndre Swift. I also don't hate Jordan Mason.
I love DeAndre Swift, man. I got him high ranked in my rankings. Made some adjustments, man. He is my RB16 as of right now, and I think he smashes that, but let's move on. Let's go to the fantasy MVP. Now, many of the top guys are always talked about this, and I think by December, we might have some different names in the hat, but I'll let you kick it off first. Who do you think will be the fantasy MVP or even deserves a nomination in this conversation?
So this is incredibly easy for me, Laquan. It has been one of my easiest calls for much of the offseason, and it just got much easier a couple days ago. I like Christian McCaffrey a lot, but I know you hate him, so I never was going to bring him up. I like George Kittle. I like George Kittle. I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be the best tight end in fantasy, probably. I love CeeDee Lamb. I think he's going to be unbelievable, but he's going in the first round, so it's hard to pick him as the MVP. You know who's not going in the first round and is easy to pick as the MVP, Laquan? his quarterback, Dak
Prescott. I love this pick here. I will be at the ceremony standing up clapping in December when Dak Prescott is the fantasy MVP. He actually was not on my list. I feel like a crappy Dak Prescott fan stand right now. Like, Okada, you just messed the whole award ceremony up because how did I not have him? Yes, I am behind that 100%.
Listen, Rain Dakota Prescott, which is his name, in case you don't know. You mentioned, Laquan, when you were introing this award, all the top names always get named for this. Okay, the top names at quarterback are guys like Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott's not in that conversation in terms of where people are drafting him and when they're naming the top names, but he is going to be there. Barring injury. The injury is the only chance, the only thing that keeps Dak Prescott from being in the exact same tier as Joe Burrow, if not higher. And we've talked about this on this pod before, Laquan. In every healthy season, and even including his unhealthy seasons, if you just map out the full pace over the last several years, Dak Prescott's numbers look exactly like Joe Burrow's numbers. Exactly. You cannot tell the difference. But for some reason, nobody's drafting him like that. And mind you, he put up those numbers, those Joe Burrow numbers, without having a T. Higgins number two. Now he has a T. Higgins number two. George Pickens is exactly that. And I think Jake Ferguson is good. His run game is awful. It is probably not going to be as good as the Bengals. And his defense went from probably not very good, maybe middle of the road, to now garbage by trading away Micah Parsons, which obviously is something we skipped over in the news, despite it being the biggest news of the week outside of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's engagement, because it's a defensive guy. It's not super fantasy relevant, except in what it does to the Cowboys defense, which makes it worse. This team is going to have 45 to 42 games all year long. Dak Prescott is going to break the passing yards record. He's probably going to throw for 40 touchdowns because he's going to have to. This blows my mind that he's going where he is. I am getting Dak Prescott in every single draft that I can. I will take him two rounds ahead of where he's going if I have to. Smash pick for MVP.
MVP Dak Prescott in December, and I'm 100% behind that, man. Like, I cannot believe I didn't have his name in the hat. Like, I had Kenneth Walker. That was my choice. Like, I felt as though if we get 17 games from Kenneth Walker, that boy is RB1.
True.
Is going to run the piss out of that ball. He got career highs on the ground from Alvin Kamara, of all people, who sniffed almost 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. And I think if we get 17 games, even 14 games, I'm not greedy. Give me 14 games of Kenneth Walker. He will be the RB1. I guarantee that. That's how damn good that boy is. But we got to move on to our next award, our last and final award, where I'm just like, hey, I don't want no problems, man. But this is the Taylor Swift Award. Now, Okada, would you like to explain the criteria of the Taylor Swift Award? Because I got to be honest, like, we're playing a dangerous game right now.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like you're setting me up for failure here, bud.
Hey, you said it.
That's true. All right, listen. Let's just be forthright, okay?
Yeah.
We are a couple of football dudes, okay? We're not really Taylor Swift fans. And that doesn't mean that we hate Taylor Swift, necessarily. But I'm not going out of my way to listen to her music. I'm not falling out of my chair when she gets engaged. She's fine. Okay, she's fine. She's a pretty good songwriter. I'll give her that. However, everyone else is obsessed with Taylor Swift. I think she's probably the biggest star on the planet right now. Maybe Beyonce's still up there. I'm not sure. Depends on the metrics you use, I suppose. Hey,
you're playing a dangerous game, putting in other beehives and vibes. And look, man, if your fan base has a nickname, I want no problems.
Well, the Swifties have a nickname, and we're calling in problems. So this may get us in trouble. Listen, I'm not saying this means we hate these people. I don't hate Taylor Swift. All it means is everybody's on board, everybody's freaking out and excited, and I can't quite buy in. And I will give you my nominee, Laquan, to finish this off, to give you an example, to give our listeners an example, because this is the easiest pick of this entire show for me, maybe outside of Dak Prescott, because that one's so easy.
Facts.
Jacory Bill. Crossy.
Oh, no. Merit. No. Why would you?
Everybody. Everybody is a freaking out about Bill Kroski. He is the darling of the fantasy streets. He's jumped like 100 picks in ADP. He was already getting hype before Brian Robinson got traded away. And then the team traded away Brian Robinson. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's because they believe in Jacory Kroski Merit as the successor in this backfield. Nah. Oh,
man.
Nah. They got rid of Brian Robinson for a bag of chips because they didn't want to have to pay him one day. You know who is going to lead this backfield, Laquan? A guy.
Don't say it.
A guy who a couple years ago, for multiple years in a row, was the best running back in fantasy. 2 years ago, it went real wrong because he got injured. He injured his ankle early in the year, and he never really recovered from it, and so he never looked very good. But everybody gave up on him last year and never paid attention to the fact that Austin Ekeler looked good last year. If you look at his metrics on FTN, very solid numbers. I think that Austin Ekeler is being underrated as a running back. Is he older? Yes. But he's not the kind of running back where age matters to me as much. He is the kind of running back who I think can overcome the age because he's not taken, 300 carries a year for 8 years. And he's a pass catching guy who's very good at that. I think Austin Ekeler is going to lead this backfield. I know everybody's excited about Bill.
I want to hear that.
Seventh round pick. He is a seventh round pick, Laquan. Seventh round picks at the running back position do not post RB1, RB2, even RB3 seasons. The best pick in this range that we've ever seen was Isaiah Pacheco as a rookie. And he was fine. He had 830 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. I think we could see that at Kroski Merit, but I think people are expecting 1,200 yards and 10 rushing touchdowns or something like that. I am not in. I am so far out. If he falls to the 13th round, sure. But he's going in like the 9th round and climbing, and I think people in drafts this weekend are going to reach into the 8th or 7th maybe to get him. I could not be more out. I am sorry. He's fine. He's fine, just like Taylor Swift. But I can't buy in, and everybody's obsessed. I'm out.
I'm glad you had to put the emphasis on he's fine. So is Taylor Swift, because again, we don't want no smoke. And the folks that are listening, I understand there may be some crazy Swifties out there, but please don't jump in our DMs about it. Because again, we're just two dudes that love football, man. We don't want to be just in our face all the time. Like Taylor Swift, how many times do you think they're going to show her week one? Like, I mean, God, I mean, they're doing a wedding like this. I'm pretty sure NFL Films is going to be at their wedding, sitting there shooting all the types of content they probably get from that. But my guy, to finish this up on, you know I'm very toxic. I got to end this very toxic. Ooh. Mr. Christian McCaffrey, he gets the Taylor Swift Award because everybody wants to get that breakup song that they're going to get out of this season if you're taking him in the first round. Because boy, oh boy, I am sick and tired of the CMC campaigns, the hype trains. I cannot buy a ticket to that show because it will be a disaster. It will be the Travis Scott Festival concert that he had. If you know, you know. It is going to be bad because I cannot invest into a player that has burned me. Travis, like we seen folks out there doing their last in their league's punishment. So I feel like when you see that and you see why they got last place, it's because they took Christian McCaffrey. Why go back to that bitter ex that has broken your heart? Why go back to that guy that just treats you like crap when you spend a hefty price in drafts for him? He is the winner and the sole winner of the Taylor Swift Award. Again, she's fine, and he's fine when he's healthy. But we will never feel good and comfortable taking this man with Mr. Brian Robinson Jr. also in the saddle, which leads me to my next point, Okada. It's like everybody forgets that Kyle Shanahan was one of the biggest liars in August last year. Because, again, they kind of were like, yeah, it's fine. No, don't worry about the calf. He's good. He's fine. He just got married. You saw he's happy. What happened? Dun, dun, dun. Kyle Shanahan strikes again. The biggest liar in the fantasy streets. He ain't the fantasy boogeyman because that's Arthur Smith. But he is the biggest liar out there. And we have the Google Gaga eyes, the fantasy darling eyes. When we take him off the board as high as the 105, Okada, he is the winner that we will be saying the Taylor Swift Award goes to Mr. Christian McCaffrey.
He can win the Taylor Swift Award based on this criteria. I don't think anybody who buys a ticket to a Taylor Swift concert ends up disappointed because she's allegedly, I've never been, one of the best performers yeah. in the industry. So if you buy a ticket, you're feeling pretty dang good when it's over, unless she falls off the stage, breaks her ankle, and stops doing songs. That's the only way. Because if she's healthy all concert, she is the best, apparently, performer in the world. If Christian McCaffrey is healthy all year, Laquan, he is the best player in fantasy. You are off your rocker for saying he is fine. He is unbelievable. However, he's
29.
If he falls off the stage, if he falls off the stage and breaks his ankle, then it's going to be rough. I don't think we could disagree more on this. I had Christian McCaffrey in my nominees for MVP before I settled on Dak Prescott. And it just comes down to the health. If you want to buy into what Laquan's buying into, which is that he's been hurt a bunch and is 29 years old and he's not going to stay healthy, I understand that.
I had a kid. Congrats. But he ain't it's sleeping.
However, if he doesn't get hurt, which he has done like half the seasons, he is going to be the best player in fantasy. There's no way he's not. It's crazy to say he's fine. So you listen, listeners. You just put two faces on your draft board. One is Laquan and one is mine. And when the first round comes around, you just look at those two faces and you say, who do I trust more? Who is the more trustworthy man out of these two? And take Christian McCaffrey or leave
it's
Christian
neither,
McCaffrey
based listen, on your choice. It's both of us. Christian McCaffrey is That's the true. Least you could trust. It's one of those things where it's like, I cannot go down this downward spiral of where he is going to be in my starting lineups, and I'm holding my breath every single time he touches the ball. But I digress, man. We got to get up out of here. This has been a very, very, very fun show, and I can't wait to revisit these awards. We need to timestamp all this crap because it's going to come back in November. It's going to come back in December when we have an idea of who's going to be strapped to these awards. So thank you guys for listening, and please make sure you guys are liking, subscribing, and please look, you got the promo code down there. It is not too late to jump on the FTN Fantasy website and get our cheat sheets to use our tools. The waiver wire tool will be active after week one, and it is one of the best tools out there to help you make the decisions you need on the wire. So please make sure you guys like and subscribe. We'll be back next week. It'll be week one, baby, and we talking real time setting up week one lineups. So you definitely want to stay tapped in. Okada, it's been great, man, and I'll see you guys next week.